Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
DeAndre Ayton was introduced before he's even been drafted. That's kind of how it went at Suns workout today. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Kellen Olsen's here. After Kellen went to that interesting press conference for a workout of a draft prospect.
Yeah, the Empire of the Suns podcast doing two podcasts in less than 10 hours. I don't think we've ever done two in like 2 days, let alone two in the same day, but we did not anticipate that it would be this not heavy-handed. It wasn't like hinting at it. It wasn't like McDonough was grinning the whole time when he was saying stuff, or Ayton was grinning the whole time. It's just specifically the thing that stood out to me was, if you haven't heard or seen the quotes or listened to it or whatever, I recommend that first of all, because both of them were pretty good and said a lot of stuff. Ayton has a past relationship with Josh Jackson. He's already gotten to know Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, Marquise Chris, and a couple of other players already, like this summer. And there were like 8 or 9 players that McDonough rattled off that watched him at some point during his workout. And those players, along with Ayton, are going to go together and watch the NBA Finals tonight with each other.
Friends.
And that's just what, I mean, friends, but it's like, it's not like Ayton is like, if like Tyler Ulis would have done that in his pre-draft workout, we would have been like, oh, he's just like tied with Booker. That's what they're doing. But I mean, Ayton is supposedly tied with Jackson, but like, that's the kind of stuff that teammates do together. And it seems like they're at least thinking that it's going to happen. And from everything that Ayton said and his mentality, and from everything that McDonough said, I just don't really see it in terms of the other decision. Because the other decision is Doncic, it appears. I don't really see any momentum at all for Bagley or any other consideration or what they said. And just the way McDonough, he's not framing his questions, but he's just being sure to address the concerns already present for DeAndre Ayton, and he's not even on his team yet. The way he answered about DeAndre Ayton's weaknesses and Doncic's and Bagley's weakness, it's going to be interesting to hear him talk about the weaknesses for other players, because it seems like the weaknesses thing has been something that McDonough's been debating in scout rooms and front office rooms for months now, and he's like got his argument perfectly down and just is aware of what is there and is it just seems like it's him. We thought it was him before this, but it seems like it's really him after this.
So let's set up. So the Suns usually they'll tell the media, okay, we're working out at 11:30 is availability approximately this day. Just show up, and then they'll send a email with the list of participants like an hour before at 10:30 every morning of a workout. This one, they put the release out Tuesday night, like giving us 12 hours of not only here's a workout, but here's who's going. It's DeAndre and it's him alone.
Here's Doug and Wolf talking about this all morning. Here's Bickley and Murata talking about this for 2 hours. Like, it built up the hype of it.
So I took that as like they want you as a fan to know through us, the media. And then like kind of watching this and like seeing how it went down, you can tell me. You said there are a lot of people there. I mean, I think there are a lot of people at Earl Watson's hiring, even McDonough's hiring, but they use the Al McCoy Media Center because that's where their giant podium, it looks pretty. That's where all the TV people can actually fit instead of just their usual scrum on the practice court. So it was done up, but you wrote about this a little bit that maybe it's beyond just like, even if they've decided to publicize it for a reason, aka they're going to draft him, they're doing it to see how he might react. And look, the Phoenix media is not, I don't think we're known to
we're
ask
the
toughest.
New York media,
we're not the New York media, but he like took some decent questions. He was asked about his defense, and I think Doug asked, like, would you want to go to the Suns at number 3, or would you rather go number 1 overall if the Suns had a third pick? And he, like, came back with the witty, like, response, like, oh, I'd want them to trade up and get the number 1 pick and take me to avoid that conundrum. So Yeah, you wrote about just him handling that really well.
He was just really quick. It wasn't like, I'm going to pause and think about my answers. It's like, I'm answering these immediately, and I'm going to give really good answers for them. It was a weird environment because, look, if this was Luka Doncic doing this, it would be like, oh, he won over a lot of people today. DeAndre Ayton doesn't need to win over anyone, but he did it anyway. So if there was anyone in that room that wasn't sure about the person he was or if he has the great mentality to be number one, like that was one of the concerns about Jaylen Brown coming out of the draft that was stupid, was that he like, can he be the guy? Can he be a star?
He has other interests.
And you talk to him for 5 minutes and you're like, okay, well, this guy, first of all, is extremely thoughtful and smart and understands what he needs to do. And with Ayton, there's no questions about that. So it wasn't even about that today. But he just appears to have the correct mindset or have the right answers for what his mindset is. I don't think we can just completely say like right. Everything he said is 100% true. Like, does he want to be a power forward or a center? He said, I'm just a player. And it's like, I'm sure you have a preference. Yeah. But that's just the way these things go sometimes. And what we can interpret from it is that he's ready for this. He understands, first of all, what is going to be expected of him. I'm sure he's a guy that's on Twitter a lot just based on how much he retweets stuff. I'm guessing he's on there a lot looking at his name. A lot of young players search their name on Twitter, and I just don't understand it.
You don't?
No, I don't. I should not either. If I ever like think about doing it and you're there for that, don't let me do it. But I'm not going to anyway. But he understands the comparisons being made to him. He understands that, was it his agent in that video that said the Shaq with a 3-point shot, or was that him?
I don't know.
I didn't watch the video, but someone in a video on SI said that he's Shaq with a 3-point shot or something to that effect. But I really liked his answer. Believe me, hey, if you're a big Kevin Garnett guy, you're a winner in my eyes. Kevin Garnett's one of my 5 favorite athletes of all time. I absolutely loved watching him play, and he said he focused on not watching current players for who to learn from, but he focused on like just little aspects of guys like Kevin Garnett, his intensity and how he operated as a stretch big, just his like movement and stuff, and then Hakeem's like post moves, which is what literally every big, even if you're 6 years old listening to this and you want to be a center in the NBA, start watching Hakeem tape like right now.
Even a point guard watch
yeah
that.
even any like anyone should watch that clip. But that's just the main takeaway, is that it seems like he is the guy. I think we're going to not really elaborate any further in terms of how he fits on the team and everything, because that's more for our podcast on draft night and just kind of how everything unfolds. But I think this is now kind of more interesting from our discussions on other picks. Is there anything else you really had to conclude from today? I think McDonough, they didn't talk about rim protection because it's impossible to know about his rim protection in a 1-on-0 workout, but it sounds like they really worked on his space defense, which I think is actually really good. Like, when they were like, oh, he looked good moving his feet for pick and roll, and maybe that's something you say to address like concerns about his defense. I don't think anyone's concerned about the way he moves his feet as a pick and roll defender.
No, it's more about how he sees and reacts. And I think just from what I gathered and what McDonough said about the workout, is they put him through a lot of different situations, especially on the pick and roll, because in college he got lost a bit on that. And I think you just thinking, like, if you run 3 trainers out and you play 2-on-2, basically, you can kind of see what he might do as far as, like, if they tell you, all right, you're going to hedge on this one, you're going to drop back on the next, and see if he can quickly pick up those things and be in the right just spots as far as, all right, we changed the coverage, now do this on this play, this on this play. I think you can at least identify if he's like actually that far behind there. But I think the issue is at Arizona, everything was so messed up that he was probably thinking too much as far as what are my teammates are going to do and if I'm going to cover them or not communicate, things like that. So I don't know if you can garner that much from that, but that was interesting that they kind of hinted that they tested him out that way.
What did you think about him saying the biggest takeaway was that he's not going to work out for any other teams? That's like the biggest hint so far, if we were going to say like hints yeah. or things. What did you take away from that? I took it as this guy thinks he's going number one. He sees all the connections here. Why would he work out for other teams?
I feel like, so our last podcast before Kellen went to the practice, I actually was like, all right, how we were kind of discussing how we're going to cover it. And I mentioned like he might say I'm not working out for everyone, because I think first overall picks, when they're that pretty solid, then they'll say that and they'll do that. So I wasn't surprised by that. But also when you consider that with him saying I'm the best competitor in this draft, I think I should go number one. That's not like a new thing. He said that in like, he told Slam that like a few weeks ago.
There's a story I found when I was like, just looking at other stuff, writing the story. He had the headline for a Sports Illustrated story written about him in 2015. Said yeah. DeAndre Ayton is ready for like being the number one prospect in 2017, or number one college prospect. And it's like, this has been the narrative around him for 4 years now, that he's going to be the number one guy. So it's not extremely surprising in my eyes, because this has just been a thing for him for the past 4 years. Like, the Luka Doncic thing is completely out of nowhere for a lot of people. Even if you've been like covering the draft for a year or two now, some people are just like learning about him 3 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever. And that's less of a narrative, whereas Ayton has been this guy for like 4 years.
You wonder how much, just because we're talking about personalities, how much like Luka is a fiery guy on the court. Definitely, maybe more than DeAndre, because DeAndre showed it what occasionally, like a lot at the end of games, not occasionally. I think he doesn't get enough credit for like late in games when Arizona would need him. And even though he couldn't get the ball, he would find the ball. And I think we haven't talked enough about that probably, where he actually did take over games as a college big man who's not getting the rock even, which was impressive. But he didn't have that like 100% of the time. I guess I don't know Luka, because I don't watch every Luka game, whether he has that, but Luka seems like a more quiet dude compared to DeAndre. Like, he wouldn't go saying I'm want to go number one on all this stuff. And that's kind of an interesting part of it, is DeAndre is kind of molded for going through all this, where they're calling press conferences with 50 people or whatever you think it was for a workout. Like, that's normal to him. And if you don't know Arizona, like, the media coverage there is a lot tougher, I think, than the media here, as far as just the scrutiny and how much people care down there. So yeah, he's built for this, I think, which is the important part.
If the Suns wanted to do everything beyond saying this is the guy we're picking number one and build up momentum and build up hype for this, like, with 2 weeks to go, they mission accomplished, because
yeah,
this is the starting point, essentially. Like, they got the number one pick, we arrived at the station or whatever, but we've officially stepped on and now we're going, and this is like the very, very beginning, and we'll see where they go. What do you take before we go, since we've talked so much about 16 and 31, what do you think now about, we barely like said like, oh, if they take DeAndre Ayton, which it seems like they will, do you see any way they take a center or a big for that matter at 16 or 31?
31, I just don't see it because of no one's there, and we talked about that last podcast. But 16, I guess the only guy would be Robert Williams.
Yeah.
And he's just interesting because, like, he has all the NBA tools to be a good player. But yeah, it doesn't really make sense, does it? Especially with Bender and Chris still there. Like, I know that it doesn't matter and they need dudes who are good, but
it's going to be an easier question to answer when, like, Denver's on the board at like 14. Like, we know the first 13 picks. It's like, okay, that's when it gets really real and interesting to me. Like, I'll always, every year, like when there's like 3 picks away, it's like, all right, the Suns will have one of these 3 guys will be on the board when they pick. It's a guarantee right now.
Yeah.
So if the guarantee is like Robert Williams, Zaire Smith, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be on the board, one of those 3 guys, and Robert Williams is the last guy left over, and it's between him and Lonnie Walker or him and Zaire, where like Zaire and Lonnie, you're adding another wing. You have a crowded wing group right now, unless you're planning on moving TJ Warren or whatever. And I think it's also a situation where if they land there and Robert Williams is the only guy like in that range, because we've talked about, like, we think it's a top 16, top 17 heavy kind of group. We see a drop off right where the Suns are, which is perfect. But if the Suns value it like we feel like 9 through 14, there are these guys, and then 15 is a huge cliff. And if 14, the only guy left is Robert Williams, and they're just stuck there, they're like, okay, we don't need to pay this $2 million to a developmental center. We need to save that room. Give us, like, a future first next year, whatever. We're going to move out of here. I think it adds that element to it as well.
Which is going to be telling. Yeah.
Yes. That's something you wrote about, and something that's going to be coming out for soon, is that we are going to learn a lot about how they approach free agency. Like, people do not... it's going to be frustrating for you as a fan with all this Zaire Smith tape and like all this fun stuff. Like,
I'm so excited.
Shai Gilgeous, could one of the bridges as fall? Could we trade up? And then they trade number 16 for Tyson Chandler's expiring just to get rid of his money, to open up that money for 1 year. That could happen. That could be what they're doing, and we're going to learn a lot about
that.
That
would be an aggressive move.
It would certainly be aggressive and not the most wise thing to do. But they could.
Yeah.
That could be their plan. They could look at Clint Capela and say, yeah, they're going to go after LeBron, and we're going to make them decide within 3 days how much they want LeBron, because we are going to max out Clint Capela, and we need to get rid of Chandler or Dudley to do that, or TJ Warren.
I wonder, it could be as simple as you find a team that's like a middling playoff team that's probably in the East, because a decent team in the East will always make the playoffs, and say, hey, we know you're going to make the playoffs. You can put a protection on your pick. We'll take your first round pick next year. Let's say it's lottery protected, and you can have this pick if you really want a player here. Like, that'll be interesting to me.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. We're going to have a full episode dedicated to trading up and trading down. But
sorry, I got excited.
No, I do too. It's the most fun thing to talk about, because we talk about trading up and trading down for years, and like, I'm chief number one. Like, you can find tweets from me last year saying the Suns don't want to add like three rookies. They have so many dudes. They don't want to add two rookies, or they don't even want to have anyone beyond the number one pick. Like, they have so many young guys. But we look at it in this draft with how many assets they have. It's like, yeah, do that by trading two or three picks to move up. And that's why it's so exciting to really talk about.
Any last thoughts on Ayton? I guess we're going to see in the next few days. A lot more workouts through Sunday, I believe. So
a lot of people have been asking. Luka Doncic is still playing right now.
Yeah.
He is not going to be here for a workout.
He might not make the draft. Like, he might be still playing.
I can't say that for a fact, that he's absolutely not going to be in for a workout. But the Suns are having, McDonough said today, they're having their number one pick workouts for now through Sunday. There'll be workouts on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we can probably expect Michael Porter Jr., Marvin Bagley, Mohamed Bamba, perhaps Jaren Jackson. Those are going to be the types of guys that we're going to see come in here and see what they have to say about not going number one to the Suns, because it's not happening, because they're picking DeAndre Ayton.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back, definitely trade up, trade down in a little bit here. And what's the last one?
We're going to look at the names, veteran targets to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have to think about that, and we also have to pray for Luka Doncic in Sacramento. Keep him in your thoughts, everyone.